We're having a conversation out of Colossians, in which I am doing a pregnant pause to talk about love. And because what Paul is doing in Colossians is in the first couple chapters, he has kind of set up the glorious Christ. And now he's shifting gears and saying, since Christ is glorious and you've died to you and come alive in him, then you set your eyes on him and you live out the glorious Christ. And so one of the ways to begin a conversation about that is look at Christ in his glory. And one of the characteristics of Christ, that is, if you were to see Jesus and he were to be with us today, you would see someone who manifest, or let's use the word walked out, or let's say lived love perfectly. That's what you would see. And what Jesus says when he leaves is, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another like, how? I have loved you, not as you love one, as you love yourselves, which is the commandment in the law. But in other words, now the testimony is love, and the person who has exemplified it in front of you and who is alive in your heart by faith and who has brought you to life in him is love. And so you go and let that be the testimony of your lives. And so it's this characteristic. And so what is love? And so, of course, the place that we find it is in 1 Corinthians 13, the definition, if you will, of love. And so then how we're looking at it, though, is we're saying that if you think about it as it relates to Jesus, had Jesus in 1 Corinthians 13, let me just go ahead and read the first couple verses of that, which I don't have on the slides, but if Jesus had spoke with the tongue of men and angels and had not love, then he would have been a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. But he didn't. Everything that he said, and he did speak with the tongue of men and of angels, was out of love. And if Jesus had prophetic powers, and he did, he was the prophet, not a prophet, and understood all mysteries, and he did, and all knowledge, and he did, and had all faith, and he did, so as to remove mountains, but he didn't have love, then he would have been nothing. And had Jesus given away all that he had, and he did, and he delivered his body up to be sacrificed, and he did, or burnt, but had not love, but he did, it would have gained nothing. And so then he begins to lay out the characteristics of love. The two that we focused on a couple weeks ago was love is patient and love is kind. And I'm going to focus on one characteristic of love this week, which is there's several different phrases that grab a hold of this characteristic. And the reason that it's such a big deal and that God uses several phrases to grab a hold of it is because it's such a big deal, right? And so he could have just said, love is humble, or love is not proud. But what he ended up doing was he said it in a bunch of different ways. And I want to talk to you about that. Now, remember, here's what we're saying is that Jesus was humble and Jesus was not proud. And what we're saying is that that same Jesus, that we have died to our old self, which is always what? Proud and not humble, the other way around. So like, and what we have died to that person and have been resurrected in this person who was only humble and never proud. And so then, and by the way, that was a characteristic of love, and here's what that means. So love really, I don't know about this. It's going to take me a couple of years to even get in. I don't know. I've wanted to take a couple years and just figure this out. I haven't done it yet, so forgive me. But like, I haven't really figured love out too well. It's too, the water's too deep with love. Like, the only thing I can know about it is the things that God says about it. And I can understand, I can see its characteristics because God's kind of given us its characteristics. But it's like so massive, you know what I mean? God is love. Okay, well, okay, let's start in that deep water, right? So, but one of the things that we can say about it is this, is that love seems to be kinetic energy, not potential energy, even though kind of it starts at potential energy. So y'all know what I mean by that, right? This is back, I think it's high school science or something. So potential energy means that something has potential to do something, but kinetic energy is when it is doing something. Does that make sense? And so here's what I mean by that, is that it seems that love isn't something unless it has somebody to do it to. In other words, I can't go out and say, hey, I'm love. I'm filled with love. I'm just love. Even when I said it, some music came up out of the monitor as if to give a witness and say, yes, you are. But I can't say that unless there's been an object that has experienced my love. Does that make sense? So it seems that love without an object isn't really love, or it's something different, or it may be the characteristic, but the characteristic has to have a landing place, if you will. Well, so when you see agape, for instance, we know that it's characterized as sacrificial love, and sacrificial means exactly what these next few phrases is going to be, right? It's probably the best version of it is that it is, it gives itself up for someone else. That's really what love is, if you wanted to think about it in some degree of simplicity. Love is me giving myself out for somebody else. Or maybe you could say love is the motive force that would cause me to give myself up for someone else. Does that make sense? Love is the thing that drives me to give myself up for someone else, to serve rather than to demand to be served, to give myself for someone else. Well, so that's what this is going to get at these next few phrases. If you just skip past my Colossians, let's go ahead and read the Colossians thing because it's the context. I want to go ahead and drop you in on it. So if then you were raised with Christ, and you were, Paul uses that type of phraseology all the time, then seek those things which are above where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on the things of the earth. For you died, and your life now, the life that you live, is hidden with Christ in God. I was crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, but the life I live now, I live by the faithfulness of the Son of God, or by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So I'm living Christ's life, if you will. And so, and of course, it's against what? It's against the sin that's still in my flesh, and it's against these old desires, which Paul will continue to say over and over again, but you've died to all that nonsense. So why, if you've died to it, are you still living by it? You know, is the essence of what he'll say once we get down there. So then here we go in our love passage. So, love is patient, love is kind, we've already seen that. Love does not envy, nor does it boast. It's not arrogant, nor is it rude. It does not insist upon its own way, and it's not irritable or resentful. Now that whole mouthful is really saying the same thing. One is the cause and the effect. In other words, if you are insist on your own way, then you're going to be irritable and resentful if you don't get your own way. Can I hear an amen? Exactly. And so you know, some of it's cause and effect, but it's all essentially the same conversation. That is, love is humble. It's not arrogant. It's not rude. And rude is really just that snappiness that comes from my lack of humility, right? And so this is what it was with Jesus, right? So Jesus' characteristic that he gave of himself, and he only gave one, and he said, and it was about his heart, and he used the word heart. He said, "I am something and something of heart." Do you remember what it was? Gentle and lowly of heart. That was the only thing that Jesus ever said about himself. That's it. And do you hear the lowly part? That's what we're talking about tonight. Why was he gentle and lowly in heart? In other words, remember that there always has to be a recipient. Who did Jesus have to be gentle to? Moi. Right? Who did Jesus have to be lowly in heart to? Moi. Right? And so, in other words, I love it where Jesus said, "You call me Lord, Lord, and I am," right? But here's the deal. You know what I mean? I'm not exercising my lordship over you. I'm not forcing you. I'm not demanding my own way, as the phrase says there. And so Jesus was gentle and lowly of heart. I don't know how to say better this than this. Love is always, let me say it in a simplest way that I can think of it. Love it always thinking about the other person. Love is always sacrificing. That is, love always says, "I'd prefer that you do well than me do well in this given situation. I'd prefer that you win than I win in this given situation." That's what love. So Jesus, so there may be an exit question that I can go ahead and ask you up front. Here's the exit question. What would you be willing to give to make sure that the person who you love has what they need, if you will? Right? And what, here's maybe a better way to ask the question. What was Jesus willing to give to make, yeah, that's right, his life. Right, that's it. So remember, this is the characteristic of Christ. Jesus was willing to give out of love, right? But for his great love for us, that Ephesians 2, 5 verse. But for his great love for us, he did something. What was the great love about? Well, in other words, Jesus was willing to do whatever it was going to take to reconcile God to man. And what was it going to take? It was going to take his life. It wasn't going to take him being, I mean, it was going to include him being who he was, which is perfect and righteous, right? It was going to include that. But ultimately, there was no way out of the cross. "Father, if it's possible, take this cup away from me." But what is the answer to that? It was not possible. It was not possible. So, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. In other words, and why? What was his motivation? What was the motive force behind Jesus' death on the cross? The love for his people. But for the joy that was before him, he endured the cross, despising its shame. What was before him? That he would save the sins of his people. That he would pay for them in full. That he would reconcile his people to God. And so it was not possible. So you ask yourself sometimes, Lord, and you can do it. Go ahead and sweat drops of tears when your wife asks you to do the laundry because she's tired. And you know, say, you know, "Lord, if it's possible, take this cup from me." You know? And "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." I can already tell you what he's going to say. Do the laundry and do it like she wants it done. You know, I mean, that type thing. So this is what love is. Love doesn't insist on its own way. It's not resentful, right? In other words, it doesn't resent having to love you. Does that make sense? You know, sometimes like, oh, okay, yeah, sure, honey. Yeah, I'll go do it for you. And then you go and do it, but you're ticked off that you had to do it. By the way, let me just help you with that. You're not operating out of love. What are you operating out of? What is it? What's the old? The flesh, right? Pride. Yes, pride's the word, right? Yeah, and so what does that mean? What does he mean when he said pride? Because that's exactly what it is. Love doesn't boast itself, right? So what does he mean when he says that, though? You're operating out of pride. I would rather see me rested, in that case, right, you know, or whatever, than see her cared for in her need. Right, so that's love, right? And so love always sacrifices itself for the other couple, for the other person, for the person it loves. Let me say it that way, because it might be your roommate. It might be the person at work that's giving you a hard time. It could be a bunch of people. But that's what love is. It's always sacrificial. And it doesn't ever look to itself, right? It doesn't seek its own way is the way it is seek its own. It's not selfish. So one way to say it is love is not selfish and it's not proud. And it's not ticked off that it has to not be selfish and not be proud. Fair enough? So what, and that was who Jesus always was. Jesus was always patient with his people. He was always tender. He was always, you know, and you remember this, right? You know, here's these little, I'm just going to say this, you know, let's call them brats. I love little kids, so I just don't think they're brats. But let's just say all these little kids, and they're trying to have a piece of Jesus when Jesus is this important guy. And what does his disciples say? You know, get away from Jesus. Don't you know he's a big deal? You know, what did Jesus say? That's it. Oh, what is the word? What's the humility word? Suffer. Put up with the little children as they're coming to me. I know they're annoying and I know they're in everybody's way, but we're stooping below them because such is the kingdom of God. Right? That's love, right? He loved Jesus, loved the little children, right? That's the old children's song. And it's the truth. And so here's the thing. Love, let me just make sure I'm not missing it. It doesn't envy or boast. It's not arrogant or rude. And this is this positioning thing, right? And so I used a passage there in Philippians, if you want to pull that one up. Philippians 2. No, okay, you ain't got none. That's fine. So let me just read it to you. So if there's any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, listen to where he's orienting this thing. If there's any comfort from love, that is from the love of Christ, that is from being loved by Jesus. If there's any participation in the Spirit, that's what we're talking about, that God's Spirit is love. Is the spirit of love, if you will, and if there's any affection and sympathy, then complete my joy with each other by being of the same mind and having the same love and being in full accord and of one mind. Here's what he's talking about. Well, let me read this. Let me keep reading. Well, let me stop and just say this. Here's what he's talking about. Do what it takes from love's sake to get on the same page. Oh, man, wouldn't that be good in the day that we live in? And then he says this. He says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, there's that word, count other people more significant than yourself. So this is a positional word. This love thing's positional. It's not arrogant, the Bible says. It doesn't boast, the Bible says. What does that mean? Well, here's the way it normally comes across to me. It normally sounds like this. Don't you think I deserve a break too? Well, and you know, so what do you think my answer is? I'm not really a smart aleck. I'm serious when I give this answer. What do you think I say? That's exactly what I say. Of course you do. But you don't get one because you love. Isn't that simple? Right? Yeah, don't you think I'm entitled to him stroking me and meeting my needs? Absolutely. Tough luck. Love doesn't, you know, love is you caring about him, not you insisting that he care about you. That's what it says. It doesn't insist on its own. So you say to yourself, where does that come from? Well, it comes from Christ. Look at the way that he lived among his own kids. Look at the way he lived among and his enemies. It doesn't matter who you're thinking about. He goes up to Pontius Pilate, and Pontius Pilate's fixing a, you know, has the power, the green light or the red light on whether or not he's going to be crucified. And he tells Jesus, he said, Jesus, don't you know that your life's in my hands? I mean, dude, don't mess with me. Jesus said, Pilate, you don't have any authority except the authority that I gave you. And by the way, this world ain't my world. This kingdom isn't my kingdom. Do what you got to do. I'm good with it. Right? No matter who it was. No matter who it was. And what did he do when he was teaching his disciples? What did his disciple wanted? They wanted exaltation. They always wanted to be up here and they wanted to be exalted. And he would say, what would he say to him? He'd say, no, come on, to sit on my right hand or my left, that's not for me to give. Meaning that one of them may. It doesn't matter though. He says, like, that's not important. You're missing the whole piece. You're missing the whole deal. The Son of Man came to serve and not to be served. That's love. Right? And give his life a ransom for many. That's the ultimate love. Greater love has no man than a man lay down his life for a friend. And you're my friend. So Jesus said, here's how much I love you. I'm going to lay down my life for you. And by the way, now you go love one another like I love you. What does that mean? We lay down our life for each other. What does that mean? Yeah, I don't have rights and I'm not entitled to squat. I'm not sure if squat's a cuss word. If it is, blank that out. I'm not entitled to it. I'm not. What are you talking about? You're seriously entitled to something? What are you entitled to? Well, I'm entitled to dignity. Really? Are you now? You know, I'm entitled to be treated, you know, with respect and value. Really now? Are you? You know, and the thing is, I'm not entitled to anything. You know, I'm a recipient of the mercy of a loving God who didn't treat me like I ought to be treated. Period. Right? And so, now, granted, I'm not, don't hear me wrong here. Of course I'm going to give you dignity. Why, though? Well, because I love you. Right? But here's what you don't get to do. You don't get to demand it from me. Does that make sense? Because now you've got the balance wrong. Do you see what I'm saying? So, of course we should love each other. Of course we should meet each other's needs. Of course we should be kind to each other. Of course we should do all these things. That's what love looks like when you're doing it for me and I'm doing it for you. I've told this story 100 times. I'm going to tell it one more time just for the fun of it in closing. So, you know, Jackie and I, when we started our marriage, we had the whole toilet roll problem. You know, his way and her way and all that kind of stuff. And honestly, and you know, I would literally go through the house and change them all. And she'd come behind me, you know, after a few minutes when I was out the door and change them all back. And the reason I keep telling this story is because it's like a literal miracle that happened. I was doing my devotions one morning, and I was reading in Romans 14, where it says, 15, excuse me, and where it says, outdo one another in showing love. And it was that the Lord was like, Bobby, really, you gonna keep insisting on your own way on the toilet paper? And don't you love her? Isn't it okay if she has a stupid toilet paper the way she wants it? and I go in the house and change them all to the way that she wants it. And by some miracle, God had been talking to Jack and had said the same thing. And she changed them all back to the way I wanted it. And literally, we acted out that verse. We outdid one another in showing love. And then we had to have the fight about who was, you know what I mean? Because now we were over it, and both of us were totally fine with whichever way it went, because we were over insisting on our own way. Love does not insist on its own way. And so guess what happened, of course? It's way more fun to have that fight than the other fight we were having. Amen? When you're outdoing one another and showing love, it's way more fun to have that fight. And so what happened? Well, the Lord led me and guided me in the paths of righteousness. The Lord showed me that day that he was what love looked like. And love doesn't insist on its own way. And it's not demanding. And it's not proud. And it doesn't think that it should have things a certain way. And we shit all over each other. And we hurt each other bad. And that's, it's just not loving, bottom line. And so I don't know how to say this too. I'll close with this thought, maybe. It's a thought. I'll just leave you thinking about it. There was a Ford commercial one time that said, "What have you done for me lately?" Do y'all remember that? It was back in the 80s or something. It ran for a minute, though. I mean, like, everybody talked about it. And I know that Jackie's very insistent that we make out a little bit before I leave the house. It's gotten down at our age to a good kiss, but and then, you know, we say, "I love you." I mean, you know, and remember that love's behavior, you know. So maybe the kiss is an act of love. And maybe it's that we want to say it out loud. But the truth is, she could always say, "What have you done for me lately?" And because love acts out itself, you know. And by the way, if she has to think about that very long, I haven't been loving, even though I might say that I love her. So one of the ways to think about it is, because sometimes we pick on each other and we just beat each other up and we say, "You don't love me. Did you hear the sermon tonight? Obviously you don't, because you do demand your own way." And so probably a better way to think about that is, I'm not acting loving when I demand my own way, honey. The Bible says it. And Jesus didn't do what I do. And so you be patient with me while I stop that. And I'm going to act loving because I actually do love you. And there's something about acting loving that kind of makes the love that's there wake up in your heart. And it becomes more and more real. You can tell stories about it like I just did. Lord, but the truth is, you've been our lover. We love because you first loved us. And you're the one who never demanded your own way, and you're the one who gave it all, and then you called us to love like you do. Not like you do, but like you loved us. So you make it real personal to us. And so, Lord, we pray that as we have seen how glorious you are, that we would also see how glorious your love is, and that it might be the thing that melts our heart and moves our heart towards our brother, our sister, our wife, our parents, our friends, and even our enemies, for your sake. Amen.